Welcome back to another edition of Turner Talks.
In thickness and in health with your host, Bailey Turner.
And Zach.
In today's episode, we will be talking about the worst fitness advice we have ever heard or seen on the internet. So we are going to get right into it with the first one is lifting weights will make you bulky.
Yeah, I get a kick out of this one, like, and it's mostly a female thing, I feel like, because, sorry, but your little 1 and 2 pound pink dumbbells aren't going to make you jacked. Like, I've been trying to get jacked for 13 years, and I'm still not as big as I want to be, so it doesn't happen by accident.
You're big. But I think that people think that automatically, no matter how heavy the weights are or how light the weights are, that lifting weights is gonna make you blow up, like, and get bloated and just like
bloated
looking like a guy, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, well, bloated, I think, bulky, and I just
think
thick.
I think the physique that a lot of women are after is a direct result of actually, like, training hard, eating mm-hmm. enough, you know, doing like the intense things that you should be doing in the gym, like getting huge and like stepping on like an Olympia stage or just being like large,
doesn't
muscular,
come.
It doesn't happen by accident.
No.
And it's usually with the
drugs.
Yeah. It's drug induced. Like, yeah. Granted that it doesn't, you know, take hard work, obviously, like it does, and like a lot of food and like a lot of training, but you're not going to accidentally end up being 300
looking
pounds
like Arnold.
Muscle.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, back in his day, not yeah, now.
No. But yeah, no, your 1 and 2 pound dumbbells and your power walking aren't going to make you look jacked. Sorry. Mm.
Well, they're going to make you look like you're going to see great results by doing workouts and stuff. But,
yeah, but
I think it's
the you're not gonna be,
people
you know,
that
stacked.
Are scared to lift weights because yeah. of becoming bulky.
Yeah. And like I said, too, like the physique you're probably after is a direct result of hard training. So,
yeah. And most women want this like toned look, which you're going to achieve that toned look that people aspire to have by strength training yeah. and just leaning out.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get that appearance. You don't get it by, you know, just doing cardio 24/7. That's yeah. how you look like the whole like skinny fat type.
Well, you just look like a smaller version of what you are mm-hmm. like already if you're not in a place you want to be physically. So
yeah the best weights. Way to, you know, make yourself look like you have a smaller waist is to build up your upper body and your lower body.
Yeah, and you're not going to end up with the glutes that you want to. Like, that's a woman thing, I feel like, too, is just like wanting like ridiculous like butt cheeks, but you're not going to end up with nice glutes, you know, by not training them hard and with, like, you know, appropriate like exercise selection and then progressive overload too.
For sure. Next thing that this leads us into is cardio is a must to burn fat. But then we also have another thing that we wanted to talk about is like skipping cardio when mm-hmm. trying to build muscle. So I think that cardio has its place and it's great for like anyone, regardless yeah. of your goals.
Well, if you break down like the actual like word, it has to do with just like
your heart.
Like, it's for your heart health. Like,
yeah.
Granted, you know, implementing cardio, like whatever that means, like however you choose to do it, whether that be like Stairmaster, treadmill, walking outside, doing sprints, you know, elliptical, whatever, the end goal of it shouldn't be to, you know, burn fat. Like, it's going to obviously burn, you know, calories, but a majority, like 95 to like almost like 99% of your like calorie expenditure should come from just like
being in a calorie deficit, yeah, and then also increasing your NEAT throughout the day, your non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So like literally just moving around during your day.
Yeah. Well, like something that like I'm really proud of with, you know, the last like two and a half months that we've been, you know, eating in like a deficit is we've also been incorporating a lot more cardio, not because we're like, well, obviously like your goal is to like increase like movement, so we're doing that, but my blood pressure from just like walking like 3 miles, like 5 days.
Both of ours has dropped like 20 points.
Like, I'm like, I think my blood pressure, my best blood pressure so far was like 112 over like 65.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like super proud of that. I'm like almost more proud of that than like just like the weight loss. But the blood pressure being where it's at is a direct result of 1, losing all of that excess body weight, and 2, you know, just increasing the amount of like cardio
and improving your conditioning, you know, yeah. like. That has a huge impact on your overall health and well-being, more so than, you know, people. Yeah. I don't know. Everybody looks at cardio as like a means
well,
to lose
fat.
Like,
I think they see like bodybuilders like in like the dog days of like their prep and they see them like at that point, yeah, you're using cardio as like a means to like peel burn off the last as much, like, 5 to 10 pounds. But you know, where we're at right now, we're just doing it to like be healthier and like you feel better and like you recover better and like you sleep better. So mm-hmm. It has a direct carryover to like pretty much every like other aspect in your life, like not just fitness stuff. So mm-hmm. don't look at cardio as a means to, you know, peel fat off your body, but just to be a healthy person, like
for
an
sure
organism.
For your heart, like you want to live longer,
organism, yeah.
longevity of life. And when I talk to clients that want to lose fat, like my first instinct isn't to be like, oh, you need to be adding in 3 30-minute sessions of fasted cardio a week. Yeah. No, I'm going to say you need to increase your overall daily, you know, steps. Mm-hmm. And if you don't track it, that's fine, but just try to be more active throughout the day, whether that means going on a 10-minute walk in the morning and 10-minute walk at night, and then, you know, making better choices when you're going out getting groceries, park further away, take mm-hmm. the stairs at work, do stuff like that. Just little things like that really do add up and make a big difference. So I feel like it's less of a worry to focus on, you know, strict cardio regimens than it is to just focus on just getting your steps in and moving your body more.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Because Bailey's going to think I'm throwing her under the bus, but like prior to like the last like 2.5 months, you used to get so irked when I'd park like not in the nearest like spot.
I was pregnant and fat.
You were pregnant, but...
And my feet hurt.
Even
let's not open this can of worms.
In between even like being pregnant and, you know, starting like to like, you know, be in this deficit, you...
I don't
you
care
would
get
where
you
mad.
Park.
Yeah. I love parking further away because one, it means like I get a little like more steps in.
Okay, but in St. George, sometimes it's like 120 degrees outside and I'm like, please just park close
because
I'm so hot.
I'm worried about the cars. I don't trust parking next to people because they always end up like dinging your car anyways or like pushing a grocery cart into it or something like that. Like that ain't about to happen.
Okay. Speaking of cardio, we also wanted to touch on the whole...
Wait, we were going to touch on the bulking thing too. Like just because like you're trying to like, you know, purposely like increase calories, don't think that you need to cut out cardio once again because the root of the word is heart. So like
it's good for your heart health.
And
it's
like
not...
especially if you're like, you know, intentionally putting on a little bit of weight, like your heart needs to be in like even better, like, you know, condition. So
yeah, and we're not, like I said, it's not about doing 30-minute sessions of cardio, you know, multiple times a week. It's just about moving your body more, and if that means you have to add in, you know, 30 minutes of walking to the end of your workout or something, that's totally fine. But overall, the overarching theme is just to move more for your heart.
Yeah,
for overall wellness and longevity. Fasted versus fed cardio. So everybody and their moms think that fasted cardio is the key to getting just shredded.
No. I mean,
you're going to burn the same amount of calories regardless.
Yeah.
It does. It's not magical. There's nothing magical about fasted cardio.
Yeah.
Some people prefer, we prefer to work out on an empty stomach because we were trained so early in the morning. So like we don't want to eat a full meal. So like, sure, we might be doing our walks in a fasted state, but does that mean it's better than if you had a banana in your stomach? No,
that doesn't even make sense. Actually, I had a banana in my stomach and I ruined all my gains. Like,
literally.
The walk didn't
That's
count.
What some people think though. And it's like, that doesn't even make sense. Like when you put it that way, like think about it, that in that sense. That makes zero sense when it comes out of my mouth.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of like the fasted cardio stuff boils down to the carnivore and keto zealots that, you know, think that you're doing something at like the cellular level that's promoting like more fat burning because...
Yeah, and I truly don't think it's that serious, like where you need to worry about that.
It's
stop focusing on such tiny little details.
Well, it's the stepping over $100 bills to pick up dimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the mindset. I mean, I honestly, like, as far as, like, training is concerned, you know, that now that I've kind of, like, cut calories back a little bit, but when I was, like, not really concerned about what I was eating, I always felt better when, like, at the minimum I had, like, some sort of, like, carbohydrate prior to training, like, whether that be, like, a Gatorade or, like, an actual, like, carb powder, mm-hmm. and then, like, maybe some protein. But, you know, now that we get up so early, it's, you know, one, half the battle is not waking up Marlo, so I don't want to make a lot of, noise in the kitchen, but two, it's just, like, I'm too lazy this early to do anything.
Yeah, I just prefer it. Yeah. But some people like eating a little something, and that's not going to ruin your
better.
That's not going to ruin your gains or anything. Like you can eat before you train or before you go on a walk. Like that's great. It's whatever you prefer. That's what it boils down to.
Well, I think you just have to look at like
calories in
as a
versus
whole,
calories out
at like a daily or even like weekly level. Like as long as you're like not overdoing it in any sense, like, you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Don't overthink things.
All right. This one's my favorite.
What?
Carbs are the devil.
Carbs are the devil.
Love hearing it.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, no. I mean, there are certain instances when certain people have medical health conditions where they need to have like a ketogenic diet where, you know, that's for them, that's the best option. But for the majority of humans, carbs are not the thing that makes you fat. That's the kick out of it. Like, I always get a kick when people say, well, everyone said that breads and pastas and all these things are going to make me fat because, you know, carbs make you fat.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's because, generally speaking, those are the things that you can overeat on the easiest. It's super easy to eat like 4 servings of pasta in one sitting than it is to eat, you know, 4 servings of protein.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, to clear this up too, like, when you're eating in a deficit, carbs are usually the thing that get, like, cut back first.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that they're not useful. Like, it's your body's preferred. There
is no one macronutrient that is bad for you. That's what we're trying to get across. It's like, you need all three, like I said, unless you're, you know, doing the ketogenic diet for health purposes. The average person needs all three in order to have a well-balanced diet. Mm-hmm. Like, the perfect plate that I would want, like, my clients to have is a source of protein, you know, 30 to 40 grams of protein, a vegetable or fruit, and then, which is like your carbs, and then you can also throw in, you know, some rice or pasta or, you know, bread or any kind of like whole grain for your other carb source, and then you have some fats to balance it all out. And, you know, I never want people to think, oh, I can't have pasta because it's going to make me fat. No, it's just because you tend to overeat on that kind of stuff in general. It's not the pasta that's making you fat. It's just because you're eating in a calorie surplus in general. So, yes, it's easier to overeat on stuff like that, like processed foods, which, you know, that's why people put a bad rap on eating fast food and all that stuff. It's like, no, you can have all that in moderation. You just have to have portion control and overall be in a, you know,
yeah,
balance throughout the day.
And I don't want to turn this into a rip on like keto and carnivore people podcast, but if you think about like all the foods that are like easy to overeat, like most of the calories are coming from fat, not carbs. Well, and it's easy to understand that because, like, you know, a gram of fat has 9 calories,
mm-hmm.
a gram of, you know, a carbohydrate has 4. So it's, if they're going to make any macronutrient look to be the bad guy, it's going to be fat because it's, you know, I feel like they're,
it's more calorically dense, like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we want to make sure that you guys understand that no, there's no macronutrient that is
inherently bad food unless you're drinking like diesel fuel or something like that. Like,
gross.
If you're consuming that, probably stop.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but there's no such thing as a bad food.
No. Everything in moderation. The reason why you're not seeing the progress that you want to see is because you're overeating.
Well, I don't even think like everything in moderation. Just like, if you want it, like, just find a way to make it fit. You know what I mean?
I just like saying everything in moderation. Why don't you like saying that?
I don't know, because,
You don't, you have everything in moderation, truthfully. Like, when you look at your diet, you have everything in moderation. If you want a treat, you fit it in. But it's not like your whole diet consists of treats.
No, but that wouldn't be everything in moderation, though, because I have, like, protein not in moderation or, you know, stuff like that. Like, it makes up a majority
treats
of
treats in
it.
Moderation. Do you want me to say that?
Maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just, like, if you want it, make it fit. Just understand that it comes at a cost.
Yeah, well, like, some people don't track, though.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Bailey wins.
Don't take away that saying.
Don't take away that saying.
All right, so that brings us to keto for burning fat. So just like we mentioned before with the whole carbs thing, looking at the keto diet as a means for the only way to get shredded and burn fat is it's just asinine, because that's not the only way to lose fat. Sure, you can lose fat on a keto diet. I know many people that have, but the main reason why that is because they're in an overall deficit. And when somebody has carbs, their body's going to hold on to more water too. So if you go low carb, you're going to be holding on to less water and you're going to feel, you know, like leaner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're holding on to less water. That's what it is. So you're going to think, oh, wow, I lost like 5 pounds. But really, your body's just holding on to much less water. And you're probably still in a deficit being in a keto diet. So it all boils down to calories in versus calories out. At the end of the day, if you're in a deficit, you will lose fat. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that you should, you know, just eat a ton of fat, because it's important for your digestion, your digestive system, to eat, you know, an adequate amount of fiber. And I think they're actually, they've been coming out with more studies saying that fiber intake has actually been proven to lower like the risk of developing cancer.
And it's good for heart health and blood pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it has so many benefits, and I don't know why anybody would want to not consume fiber. All right, next one is juice cleansing for fat loss. This is a big one that I feel like I saw a lot of, probably like when I first started my Instagram like 5-6 years ago. And it's because, I don't know, like everybody would go to those places that had a bunch of like those juices in a glass bottle and buy like a 6-pack, and you'd do like a 3-day juice cleanse, and that's all you would do. And they'd be like, I'd feel so skinny. And it's like you literally ate 500 calories a day.
And had diarrhea for 72 hours.
Exactly.
I've never fallen for that stuff.
No. But a lot of women do, because yeah. They think that the juice cleanses this, like, you know, all natural way of losing 5 pounds. Well, yeah, you're going to lose 5 pounds for sure.
Yeah.
Is that healthy for your metabolism? No. You're going to literally just shit and piss and eat 500 calories a day.
Great. Now we have to put the
explicit.
Yeah. Because you decided to cuss. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this just boils down to, like, the juice cleanse stuff and thinking, like, there's a way to, like, fast-track everything is people just try to avoid the work, and you can't cut corners with whether, you know, you're trying to burn fat, like, lose weight, or, you know, build muscle. Like, it's a long process, and I think the sooner that you just acknowledge the fact that this is going to take work, and, you know, if you're in a place where you don't like to be, like, something that I thought of, too, like, I was very unhappy with, like, how I physically looked when I was sitting at, like, 264, and I certainly feel better where I'm at, like, at 245, but I know I still have a little bit to go, is that, you know, you didn't gain all of the fat that you have in a month or two, mm-hmm. and it's going to take you a lot longer to burn it than a month or two. So the sooner that you understand that you walk 10 miles out into the woods, you're going to have to walk 10 miles back, the easier it is to come to grips with the fact that it's not going to be an overnight thing, and there's no... Like I said, there's no avoiding or sidestepping the work that it's going to take.
Yeah, and I like this thing that Jordan Syed always says on his page, and it's, you, no one ever got fat from eating one, you know, bad meal, just like no one ever got skinny from eating one salad.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to take time. So play the long game. Don't try to search for, you know, the best diet, the magic pills, the magic supplements, you know. The best thing you can do is be in a consistent calorie deficit, be consistent with movement, get your water in, and prioritize sleep.
Well, and if you look at it from like this perspective too, like playing the long game, if you lost 1 pound of actual body fat per week and you had like over 50 pounds to lose, 1 pound a week for a year is 52 pounds of fat. Like,
that's just insane.
Think about where you'll be in a year.
And most people that have 50 plus pounds to lose, they end up losing more than 1 pound a week,
yeah.
Especially for the first like 2 months. So. You know, it's the last, you know, little push that takes a little bit,
yeah.
But all right. So as you can see, the main theme of this was a lot to do with nutrition. A lot of people have this all or nothing mindset when it comes to nutrition within fitness. And I think a lot of that is in part due to a lot of people on TikTok saying that this is the best diet for fat loss. And this is, it's like, you know, the optimal training people.
Yeah.
There's like an optimal, like, nutrition side of
and
things.
And it's almost worse too, I feel
yeah.
like, because
they just like, they deem so many things bad and like
demonize like seed oils and carbs. And
yeah.
This
and they just
and
like
that.
Make people fear monger, like eating whatever they eat.
Yeah. I mean, I'm to the point where I just, it goes in one ear and goes out the other.
Well, yeah, for someone like us, but you know, like if you're wanting to lose 50
pounds,
I know, but
I'm saying
you
is
see
it doesn't
that.
Like upset me as much as it probably would have like a couple
yeah,
of years
true.
Ago, just because like, if you listen to it, like it's easy to like spot a snake oil salesman,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Well, I just think about like the people that, you know, are so desperate to lose weight and they see these things on TikTok and they're like, oh my gosh, like I need to try that because this guy swears it's the only way to lose fat.
Well, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah. And you don't need to do anything extreme.
No.
That's what we want you to know.
Well, and I think like as far as like adherence goes to like dieting, I think like the reason why I've like not fallen off the wagon like a couple months into this is because, you know, we are fitting in like, you know, Dairy Queen blizzards like mm-hmm. a couple times a week if mm-hmm. we can. You know, it's just like makes it much easier to adhere to when you don't live on like, you know, extreme ends of like this pendulum, like, you know, mm-hmm. where you go from like eating whatever you want to not eating anything that like sounds enjoyable. Like it's a lot easier to, you know, fall apart if you do live in the extremes. Mm-hmm. That goes with anything in life.
Oh, for sure. If you were working out 7 days a week.
Yeah, or like I think of like politics too, like mm-hmm. stray away from like the extremes.
Mm-hmm.
Like
for sure.
Anything.
I just like to be open minded when it comes to everything because, you know, like your beliefs aren't always going to be 100% right, yeah. and everybody's gonna always have like other beliefs that are different from yours, and it's important to stay open-minded and see other people through and not, you know, play those extreme sides in anything. Yeah. So,
and this isn't like us like promoting eating everything that's processed, but you know, if you want to fit like processed stuff in, like
for sure.
And like process is like such a like a word that's like scary. Like all it means is that there was a process to like
it's not like a fruit or vegetable.
Yeah, I mean if you take an apple as a whole apple, it's not processed. Cut it up and put it in a package, it's processed. No.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally all that means. Mm-hmm. But
okay, let's see. Can't build muscle with the big three, squat, yeah. bench, deadlift.
So you kind of touched on this too, like the extremes. This is like, I feel like in the last couple of years especially, like the optimal, you know, TikTokers and Instagrammers kind of like demonizing and bashing like the squat, bench, and deadlift. Like, are they the best choices if you like want to like put on muscle? Maybe not. But for some people, they fit like certain structures very well.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're built for like squatting, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, build a lot of leg size with the squat. Whereas someone that is, you know, maybe longer proportion might not like, you know, benefit from it. So, you know, putting them on a leg press or a hack squat or like a pendulum or something like that is probably going to be a better bet for it. But to act like nobody can build muscle with like a squat, bench, or deadlift is just asinine to me.
For sure. And I feel like I see these people on TikTok all the time that are like, the best way to train your lats. And they do an exercise and they're like, you shouldn't be doing this, this, and this because this is the best. And it's like,
and even if it is the best, like it might not be the most enjoyable for someone. So like if they don't have any buy-in or don't enjoy doing a certain exercise, like they're not going to stick to it. So that's
exactly.
like half the battle is just like, you know, making sure it's something that they enjoy and they're going to stick to, because you can have a exercise that's maybe not as optimal, but they're going to do it for the long haul and they're going to get a lot more out of it than like something that they can only like stick to for like a week or two because they just hate the exercise itself. Like,
yeah, I saw this like parody video about like kind of mocking the optimal like people, and he was just like, okay, so I can't do this, but I need to do this, but I can't do this. And he was like going over all these like people that are saying that this is the best, but this isn't, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, so what you're saying is I pretty much can only do like a push-up, like literally do nothing. Like there's no exercise that is good for me, mm-hmm. pretty much, which is like, no one should be on TikTok and see those videos and be like, question their training.
Well, that's what a lot of people do too.
I know. They look at those videos like, crap, I've been doing lat pull downs and I shouldn't be doing them with the
lat bar. And then they start asking like questions that are ridiculous, like out of this world. Like, I didn't think I was supposed to be like working in this like plane of motion for this exercise.
Yeah. Cause like, you follow some of like the more reasonable, like, you know, like Coach Kasem, for example.
Like science-based stuff.
Yeah. He will get questions in his question box like, well, so-and-so said that I shouldn't be doing lat pull-downs with like a lat bar. Is this true? And it's like,
well, and there's another guy I follow. He's a bodybuilder in England, I believe. His name is Jordan Peters, and I love him because he has like this like no-nonsense approach to like exercises, and he'll do like, you know, the ask me anythings or whatever. And he'll get like people that will ask like ridiculous questions like that. Like, should I be doing like a lat bias like pull down first, or should I be doing like a lat bias row like second in my workout? And then he like clicks on their profile and then he'll like literally write on the question thing like, you're way too small to be worrying about stuff like this. Do you think I worried about any of this stuff until I got like to the advanced level? Like, mm-hmm. not even advanced, just like world class level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't major in like the minors when it comes to this stuff, like I'm not also going to say that there isn't nuance and that all you need to do is work hard. Like, don't be a smooth brained idiot and not put any thought into anything, but also don't overthink it.
Yeah. Don't overcomplicate it. It doesn't need to be complicated. And if anybody says that there's certain things that are like off limits or like they have this all or nothing mindset, like run the other way.
Because there are no bad exercises.
Yeah. Any exercise is good for you as long as you enjoy doing it and you can, you know, push yourself within it. And that's why we made a podcast, like, I think it was a few weeks ago, where we talked about how people always hate on like the burn boot camps and Orange Theory and stuff like that. And it's like, listen, if that's what you enjoy doing, do it. Don't let anybody make you feel bad for the exercise that you enjoy doing. If you only want to go on walks, go for it. That is the thing that is going to, you know, make you feel good and you enjoy it. Go for it.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy that like keeps coming to my ads all the time. Like, even like when I've like said like Instagram, I don't want to see these ads anymore. It's the guy that like made that video of like you with like the booty band on saying like, this isn't how you
boot. Oh, yeah. Boot. Oh, God. And then all my followers like literally went after him.
And then he took the video down. But he's the guy that I saw that was ripping on like the Orange Theory, saying like, Orange Theory is like a maintenance program. Well, maybe that's all those people want. Like, maybe they just want to be active. Well,
there are some moms that, like, that's all they can do because they have free, like, daycare. So they just take their kids with them, put them in the daycare, get a 30-minute class in, and they're, you know, that's amazing. Like,
well, that dude's an idiot anyways.
Yeah, literally. Like, it makes me so sad to see stuff like that because, you know, then you see those moms that, you know, maybe are trying to get in shape and just take care of themselves, and that's all they can do. And you have douchebags like this guy that's running his mouth and making them feel like crap. Yeah. So I don't even care that I called him a douchebag, and this is going to get explicit rating because, but I get so fired up about that. Like, I'm going to stand up for my mamas out there. Like, no exercise is bad, and you have to ultimately do what makes you happy. So that got me a little fired up, but all right. The next one is knees can't go over toes in squats. I love this one because I remember, like, I don't know, I think it was maybe a few years ago when I was posting on my Instagram, and I had a few like guys in my comments like mansplaining, like never put your knees over your toes. Yeah. And they can't even, like, they're literally quarter squatting 315. So,
well, I like one of my, like, I was going to add this there, but it didn't really have any like relevancy. But something that I was going to like bring up was, like, my biggest regret with, like, regards to training is, like, wasting a year and a half doing, like, conjugate or, like, West Side style training, because that's what that's all about is, you know, everything, every squat is to a box. Knees can't track over your toes because it's going to destroy your knees.
Shouldn't go, like, much past parallel.
Yeah, but I felt terrible when I was doing that stuff, like, especially in my lower body. Actually, it's, like, I'm still dealing with, like, shoulder stuff from, like, training like that with just, like, way too much band tension, but that's besides the point. But you know, once I like adopted like squatting with like a high bar position, you know, literally like trying to reach my knees over my toes, and then like recently, like within the last couple years, like squatting with like almost exclusively like heel elevation, like with wedges, my knees have never felt better. They've never felt stronger. And then like to go along with this, like when we were like in middle school, high school, like leg extensions were like bad too because it strained your ACL or something. I forget what they even said it was. It was just like shearing forces at the knee, and it's like everything that you do in the weight room almost has like a shearing force. It doesn't mean it's bad. Like, there's back to the whole like there's no bad exercise, and like, you know, now like the last couple years again, like I've thrown like leg extensions back into a high degree. Like, I love them, and my knees and quads feel bigger, stronger, healthier than they ever have. So
I think I've seen this on Instagram, maybe like from like a page kind of like Squat University or something like that, when they talk about the knees over toes thing.
Yeah, they gatekeep so bad though.
Yeah, but I don't even think it was that account necessarily. I think it was just somebody saying, like, they were responding to someone saying, why do you squat with your knees going tracking over your toes? Like, isn't this bad? And they were just saying how, like, when you're a baby and you're in that position, you know how like toddlers constantly get in that position, their knees track over their toes, and it's natural. Like, that is like the most natural way to squat. So why are we saying that that's bad for you?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. No. I mean, for some people, you might not feel the greatest, but that's maybe somebody with, you know, longer femurs.
Well, I feel like, and even if like your knees are like uncomfortable in that position, like, I think getting into and like working up to like having that capacity to get your knees over your toes is probably going to be beneficial for you, unless like obviously you have like some like structural damage that's like completely like impossible to come back from. But I think it's always a good goal to get to that point, because in like a raw squat, like this goes back to like the conjugate west side thing, like your quads are the biggest mover in a squat. So why would you try to, you know, negate their, you know, involvement in a squat? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Like, I mean, when I was like doing that stuff, like sit back in the squat, like push your glutes back and like, you know, use your hamstrings, which like the hamstrings, their length doesn't change in a squat. No. So they're not really involved to a high degree. They act more as like a stabilizer along with
Did they mean adductors?
Maybe they didn't know that they were like talking about like, the posterior fibers of like your adductor magnus. But anyways, it's just like so dumb. And I was so bad at squatting. Then I started like high bar squatting, like I said, squat blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy how that works.
Crazy.
Like, it is crazy when you try to like use your quads in a squat, actually. Yeah.
I think that's it for the lifting advice. Is there anything, or fitness advice, like the worst? Anything else you can think of? Because you said you might be able to think of a couple.
I think of like recently, like we had someone reach out to us about like us having like high volume programs, like.
High volume is overrated or what?
Overrated.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, overrated.
Like, beats you up, causes unnecessary fatigue, doesn't allow you to train as often.
I remember.
You have to do way more sets. The sets aren't as close to failure. Get more out of less sets. Work them close to failure. You're going to feel better and be way stronger.
Oh, 100%.
Build more muscle, too.
I remember when I first started, like, writing programs and everything, I feel like 2-3 years ago, there was a big emphasis on volume training. Like, that's the only way you could get your glutes to grow. You know what I mean? Like, even with, like, Brett Contreras, like, he would program tons of volume. That's kind of where I learned, like, oh, like, 2, 3, 4 sets of 20 reps.
Well, people like that because they feel a big burn. Like, yeah, no shit. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, I look back on that and I'm like, holy crap. Like, if I tried one of those leg days, like now.
It'd decommission you for a week. Like, you'd be able to train again.
1,000%. We just did a leg day from our new challenge guide and it didn't have more than.
Nice plug.
Yeah. I mean, it's not for sale anymore, but 2 sets of like 15 was like, I think the max, and then maybe 3 sets of like lighter weight for like 20 for leg extensions, but that was a ton.
Yeah.
But we had like mainly just like 2 working sets for most of the accessories. And honestly, like 1 working set sometimes is like enough if you're going to failure. Like you're like, holy crap, I couldn't imagine doing 4 more sets of this.
Well, and like the name of the game and like building muscle and like even with like strength stuff is like progressively overloading. And mm-hmm. if you're doing 4 or 5 sets, it's hard to know if you're like progressing across that because you have just like so many variables at play. Like if you do like one or two, like at most 3 sets, like you can like see like a clear progression mm-hmm. over time, like as whether or not you're like being able to like, you know, progress that.
Well, and I feel like too, the 4th and 5th sets, when you're doing that much volume, you almost have to drop the weight.
Yeah.
So you're never really like.
Or if you're not dropping the weight and you're doing straight sets, like you're nowhere near failure if you're able to like maintain the same weight and you're doing 20 reps. Like,
yeah.
Congrats, you're like at a 15 RIR. Mm-hmm. Like, big whoop. Like, I always get a kick too when I see like on Instagram, high volume arm workout. Like, what's the point? Like, yeah, you feel like a big burn and a big pump in your arms and it's like momentarily like satisfactory. Like, and if that's what you're after, go for it. Like, if you like training like that, more power to you. But, you know, I like results.
I think our point is mainly like
you don't have to kill yourself in the gym to see results.
Like, you don't have to do crazy high volume to get the toned look.
Yeah.
Like, if you prefer to lift that way, like, and that's what you enjoy doing, do it.
Yeah.
But if your goals are to get stronger and not kill yourself in the gym, then you might want to lower your volume and train closer to failure. But, you know, like at the end of the day, like we always say, we're not going to judge you for whatever you enjoy doing.
Like, it's just exercise. It's not that serious. But and then I was telling Bailey this story too. This is kind of a side tangent about there's a bodybuilder at a gym that I used to go to when we lived in Rochester, Minnesota. And we were doing, I think, pendulum squats, and we were doing like every intensity, like, you know, like intensifier on this set. And it got to the point where like he was helping me up. I was like beyond failure, like could not do it. And then he's like, because at the time I was doing like high volume stuff because mm-hmm. I thought it like was cool. And that was mm-hmm. the only way to like build muscle for like a natural guy. Like, volume is like what drives hypertrophy. And he kind of like taught me a lesson that day. And he's like, all right, now do you feel like doing like 2, 3, even one more set? And I'm like, hell no. Like, I got everything I needed to out of that set. Mm-hmm. Like,
let's move on to the next thing. Big dude.
Like, I'm only going to do like 3 more exercises. Like, another thing too is like 10 exercise, like in like one session.
I know.
It's just like, how do you have the energy to do that? Like, there's no way you're getting anything out of that. And like, as you go from exercise to exercise, like, you're getting less and less out of that exercise.
Yeah. Like, I prefer like 4 or 5, like, yeah, 5 max, honestly. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
But I think everybody kind of, I mean, if you're in the fitness space and you look back on like your old programs, like, you should look back
and you don't like think, wow, I was such an idiot for doing that. Yeah. Like, you literally have not.
You should constantly be growing, changing, yeah, learning, you know, adapting. Like, you should never be like, oh, well, my programs back then were perfect.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, they weren't. Like, we're still taking, you know, things down from our site and improving them because we're like, you know, our philosophy, training philosophy and programming has improved so much and has, you know, we've learned so much and, it's constantly evolving. So, and that's a good thing. You want to look back and be like, okay, wow, I was kind of dumb. Like, I can't believe that I programmed that. But that's a good sign that you've grown and you've learned from.
Yeah. And like the message that I want people to take away from this is, you know, you have to do stuff you enjoy, but if you are after results, like, maybe take a step back and wonder, is what I'm doing like the most efficient way to get there? Not even optimal, but just like, am I being efficient with what I'm trying to get done?
Mm-hmm. And then another key takeaway that I want people to take away is to steer clear of people that have the all or nothing mindset, that make you think that everything you're that make you question everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's like people that say this is the best and this is the only way and you should never do this. Like, stay away from those kind of people, because that's when you're going to get confused and you're going to get overwhelmed and you're going to get frustrated that you're not doing the right thing. So it's not that serious. You can, you know, see results doing many different things and it's not an all or nothing process. So. We hope that you enjoyed this. Let us know if you guys have heard any other crazy fitness advice that you want to share with us. We'd love to hear them. It's always funny to, you know, look back on, you know, some of the fitness advice that, you know, we've seen, heard. I mean, Pinterest back then was like a nightmare.
Pinterest?
Yes. Mm. I know a lot of girls probably listening to this can relate, but in high school, like, Pinterest diet culture was horrid and it made you want to go on like all the skinny detox teas and literally eat like 1,000 calories and do like a hard boiled egg diet. So that's great too. But anyways, we hope that you enjoyed this episode and we will catch you next week. Thanks for listening.